Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With fewer than 60 days before the November election, Texans will be selecting their governor and other statewide office holders. And if a Democrat should win, he or she will break a 20-year losing streak. How did the Republicans come to dominate Texas politics so completely when the GOP used to be the unelectables in Texas? Do you think Texas would benefit from becoming a two-party state again? And why do you think that Texans are so unwilling to elect Democrats? We invite you to join our conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org or go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour is Wayne Thorburn. He is the former executive director of the Texas Republican Party, and he's the author of the book Red State, an insider's story of how the GOP came to dominate Texas politics. Wayne, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much, David. It's a pleasure.
So you make it clear in your book that Texas used to be dominated, was a Democratic Party state, complete in control, and then it became a Republican-dominated state, but basically it's always been a conservative state.
Yes, I think that's a correct analysis. Whenever you ask people how they identify themselves ideologically in Texas, almost consistently over time, about one half identify themselves as conservative, about 30% say either moderate or in the middle, and about 20% liberal. And that's been pretty consistent over the last 50 years or so.
Now, Texas is not unique in this path of having been Republican or Democratic and then Republican. Other former Confederate states have also gone down this path.
That's very true. Although I think Texas is rather unique from the rest of the South. In many ways, Texas is really, as it's often been described, Southwest, because there's a good part of the state that's really not part of the old Confederacy in the South. Plus, the ethnic and racial makeup of this state is a lot different than it is in most of the other old states of the Confederacy. We have a much smaller percentage of African Americans and a much larger percentage of Hispanics, particularly Mexican-Americans.
Yeah, LBJ used to flip his lid when you would call the Texas part of the South. He would insist, no, it's a Western state. And that was just as much of a political statement as it was a geography statement.
I think you're right. I think you're right, exactly. And I think a lot of people today identify more with the West than they do with the South.
So right now, Texas is we have this battleground Texas, which you write a little bit about in your final chapter in the book, an effort to try to turn Texas blue or at least make it competitive. But they have a different challenge. It's different than the challenge that the Republicans had when they wanted to turn Texas red 50 years ago or however long ago it was. This is a different kind of issue, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that had to be done for the Republicans to become a competitive force in state politics was for the individual voters to start identifying the conservative position with the Republican Party. And when it got to the point wherein the realization came that conservatives could not control the nomination in the Democratic Party any longer, either for particularly for statewide and national office, they started the shift towards the Republican Party. If you wanted to pin a particular year, I think, in which that seemed to come to the fore, it would probably be 1984, which was the time just after Phil Gramm resigned from Congress, ran again as a Democrat, ran again as a Republican, and was elected to the Senate. It was also the year in which Kent Hance attempted to get the Democratic nomination and lost out to Lloyd Doggett that year. That was probably, I would say, in many cases, the last conservative Democratic serious effort to gain a Democratic nomination in Texas.
Right. So Well, we saw that the it was a brand shift from Democrat to Republican starting in the 1961 with John Towers' election, and then gradually we move on until we have George W. Bush elected governor, and it becomes the deal, the die is set. But trying to turn Texas blue is not so much about brand loyalty, but more about a cultural shift that people are trying to bring about in the state.
Absolutely. And it's an emphasis, I think, on a couple things. One, urban young professionals, particularly females, but even more important, attempting to register, motivate, and activate Hispanic American voters. And it's going to be a very hard task for them to do, to convert enough of these individuals to the Democratic side to make it a competitive situation statewide.
Let's go to the phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, you can. The number is 614-8980, 210-614-8980. Jay has called in. Hey, Jay, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to contribute by sharing my own little story here. I volunteered at a voting poll twice within the last 5 years. And what I noticed is that, I've heard someone say this, but I didn't see it from my own eyes, is that someone told me before, and this person was a Democrat, and they said, no, Texas isn't actually red, it's just a state that doesn't vote. And I said, oh, okay, I hear you. And when I went to go volunteer at these polling sites, I saw for myself the lack of voter turnout. There was just no, and this was not on early voting, this was the last day to vote in these two elections, and the turnout was very, very low. I think less than 100 people for each time I went. And these are long shifts. I don't exactly remember how long the shift was, but it's very long. It's about 10 hours, I think, or more. And, that was just what I saw. And it was disappointing as a civilian to see that there wasn't a lot of interaction between the community in my local area. But actually what I'm doing right now is actually I'm on my way to go get deputized today. So I'm actually on my way there now.
So you can register voters.
To share that. Yeah.
All right, Jay, congratulations, and thank you for doing that. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. All right, so so Jay brings up the point that Texas is not a big voting state. We're 51st for voter participation in the country.
I think that's true, and I think that's unfortunate that more people don't take an active role. And part of the reason, I think, depends on how you measure what your base is, and that is the fact that there's a lot of individuals who are under the age of 18, so that when we look at things such as one of the things that Battleground Texas has been emphasizing is the large number of Hispanics and the movement of the population of the state to become more and more Hispanic. But when you look behind that, there's a couple other factors. Number one is the large number of Hispanics who are under the age of 18 and therefore not eligible yet to vote. And secondly, the large, considerable number of them that are not citizens. And when you take those two factors into consideration, it looks like percentage participation is lower than it would be otherwise. Nevertheless, you're absolutely correct that Texas is one of the lower participating states in terms of turnout.
Well, we'll talk about that further as we discuss Texas as a red state. How did we become a red state? What was the process and what can we learn from that? We're speaking with Wayne Thorburn. He has written a book about that. We invite you to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. During the period from 1978 to 1998, the office of the governor alternated between the two parties every 4 years. And for most of this period, the state was represented by one Democrat and one Republican in the U.S. Senate. So we pretty much had a two-party state during this time. This is a rare time for Texas because either it's been a all-Democrat state or now it's an all-Republican state with no Democrats holding statewide office. How do we get here and what does this mean? What does it say about Texas? We're talking with Wayne Thorburn. He is the former executive director of the Texas Republican Party and the author of the book Red State, an insider story of how the GOP came to dominate Texas politics. And so, Wayne, we talk a lot about Reconstruction and the post-Civil War, and that's what kind of made Texas such a solid Democratic state for so long, 100 years. Why was that so significant?
Well, I think that's absolutely true because the Democratic Party was thought of as the party of the South, the party of the Confederacy. Republicans were identified with Lincoln, who was obviously very unpopular among the Confederates who were in Texas. And once Texas got readmitted as a state and the Confederates were the ex-Confederates were allowed back into the electorate, the Democrats took over and retained control from that point on. The factor that limited the appeal of Republicans is they became associated as the Negro or the African-American or the Black Party of the time. And many of the leaders of the Republican Party in the 19th century were African-Americans. And as the Confederates took over, imposed more restrictions such as the Terrell election law in the 1903 period, putting in the poll tax, limiting the ability of African Americans to vote, that even lessened the appeal of the Republican Party even more.
Right, and we had the whites-only primary.
Absolutely.
And you also mentioned in the book about how during the Texas Troubles and the Civil War and secession, we had pockets of Texas in the Hill Country, mainly the German communities and the free-thinking communities, which they refused to support the Civil War and secession. And they backed the Republican Party, Lincoln's party at the time. And these people were persecuted and lynched at the time. But there is still, I mean, but this is an area that today is staunchly Republican. You can't find a Democrat to run for any office in these areas. But people don't really remember, don't really see the thread of history in why they are the way they are.
You're absolutely right. And, of course, in the San Antonio area going into the Hill Country, the only Republican congressman from the period of the turn of the 20th century until the 1954 election, the only Republican congressman was a man by the name of Harry Wurzbach, who is known now because of the expressway in San Antonio, but served almost 12 years as the congressman from San Antonio and some of the Hill Country, Guadalupe County, and some of the other counties around there. He was the sole Republican in Congress and one of the very few in any office in Texas during the period in the 1920s.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Laura has called in. She's got a question. Laura, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. When Lyndon Johnson signed all the civil rights legislation in the 60s, he told those closest to him that he knew he had just turned over Texas to the Republican Party for the next 50 years. And I wonder if you'd comment on that.
Thanks for your question, Laura. So, Mr. Thorburn?
Well, I think he was way ahead of his time. That certainly didn't happen because that happened in 1964. The Republicans did not become a force really until the end of the 1970s. When in 1978, Bill Clements broke kind of the glass ceiling and became elected governor. There was still a lot of segregationist support within the Democratic Party throughout the rest of the 1960s and the 1970s. And I think when you really look at it, the growth of the Republican Party came more from two other elements. One, people moving into the state. Transplants who came particularly to the urban areas around Dallas and Houston, and secondly, younger voters, if you look at an age distribution during the 1960s and 70s of asking people with which party do you identify, you find that it's the group from 20 to 29 who were the most Republican of all. So what has happened is, in effect, a lot of the Democrats have died off because those who were set in their time continue to be Democratic, and then eventually, as time went on, have left us.
Okay, back to the phone lines. Andrew is here. Andrew, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. As far as the resistance for Texas to not to be so red right now, is one of the big things is religion. There is so much. This is a very Christian state. Everything is about God. The main opposition to abortion in this state is because it's against God's will, and everything else, like with global warming or climate change, people have it in their heads that we can't change the earth or the climate of the earth, and bottom line is that religion plays a big role in this state, and it's keeping us back from making any progress.
All right, so Andrew, thanks for your call. You make a good point. And so, Wayne, you bring up the fact that the Southern Baptists have such a strong presence in Texas.
Well, that's true. That's very true. And, of course, Southern Baptists have traditionally been a very conservative force in politics. They were very active in the Democratic Party when they voted in rural areas. But that's pretty much changed, and they have become much more identified with the Republican candidates in the Republican Party most recently. I think religion does play an important role in Texas, but it probably is involved in both parties. I think you'll find that some of the more liberal denominations and groups religious affiliation within the Democratic Party that are calling for other kinds of policy positions. So religion really is on both sides of the issue, although obviously it's much more conservative in Texas than it would be elsewhere.
So Wayne Thornburn, you were head of the Texas Republican Party when Bill Clemens was elected governor.
Yes. Right.
So, I mean, you really don't write about that from a personal point of view in the book. The book is very academic, and it's pretty much – it's not doesn't have really a political point of view, really. And I appreciate that. But I really want to find out what it was like during that historic time. I mean, did y'all feel like the tide was turning?
Well, we really did. And I think it was a rather exciting time. I moved here for the job as executive director. I had been teaching political science in Arkansas and had the opportunity to move to Texas and take the position with the state party. And that was when Bill Clements was mounting his campaign. The fact that he was able to win and the tower was able to be reelected for a fourth term gave a lot of excitement to the Republican cause. Followed up 2 years later, of course, by Ronald Reagan's victory over Jimmy Carter, reclaiming the White House for the Republicans. And so that was a rather exciting time, I must admit, unfortunately followed by 1982, which was a setback, and the cold water and the reality of Mark White's victory set in at that point in time. But yes, that was a very exciting time, and I think there was a lot of younger people who became active in politics, and by that I mean people in their 20s and 30s who then went on to other positions. Cindy Taylor Cryer becoming state senator and county judge in Bexar County, Ed Emmett, who is now the county judge in Harris County, Lee Jackson, who had been county judge in Dallas County. All of these were people in their 30s at that time who were just starting out their political careers.
And did people know that there was this Reagan revolution coming, that there was, as more Republicans left, conservatives, more conservatives left the Democratic Party to become Republicans, then the Democratic Party was able to move further left, and then that also kind of hastened the defection of people to the Republican Party and created the Reagan Revolution here in Texas and in the South?
Absolutely. One of the things that I talk about in the book is the contribution towards the two-party system of what I call the two-party Democrats. And these are the people who were ideological liberals who in the 1960s and 1970s endorsed Republican candidates because the Democrats had nominated conservatives. And their goal was to try to attract the conservatives out of the Democratic primary and into the Republican Party. And it's probably an example of be careful of what you wish for or the unintended consequences, because they did succeed
right
in driving conservatives.
And that, and I think that is something that, that does apply to today's political system as we look at Tea Party and party purity. And if the one party shifts over too far on one side, then you have a purge and things change. Well, Wayne Thorburn, thank you so much for joining us. He is the author of the book, Red State, Insider Story of How the GOP Came to Dominate Texas Politics. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.